Dear congregation, Moses, in rehearsing the account of the journey of the children of Israel towards the promised land, wrote this in Deuteronomy 2 and verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. The Lord was with them in the wilderness journey. And he knew the way wherein they walked. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. Are we not thankful, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that the Lord knows our walk through this wilderness? When we consider the wilderness, this present world, all what we face, yet the Lord knoweth our walking through this wilderness. Let's just briefly again consider the wilderness. We're thinking tonight again of divine guidance in the wilderness. Well, let's just briefly consider the wilderness. It was not the promised land for the children of Israel, and neither is this world in its present state the promised land. We look to heaven. We look there, and we look to our long home. Secondly, there were difficulties in the wilderness. There was much work to attend to. There were many burdens to carry. It was not easy going through the wilderness. And there are times when we're so aware it is not easy for us as we go through this wilderness. Thirdly, they face battles in the wilderness, and so do we. There are those that oppose us. Why? Because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We face battles. Fourthly, there is danger. There was danger in the wilderness. You remember, young people, the fiery serpents. They had to be so careful where they trod. There's danger in the wilderness. We need to be on our guard. We need to walk circumspectly. We need to be so careful. Remember, our Lord exhorted his disciples to watch and pray, and so must we. We must be much in prayer, and we must also watch. Fifthly, there was sin in the wilderness. How often we read of the murmurings of the children of Israel. They murmured over the manna. They murmured for the lack of water. And in another place, because of the water, it was bitter. Oh, the murmurings in the wilderness. The sin. And oh, there is much sin in the wilderness. And we need to battle hard with our sin. Sixthly, there was confusion in the wilderness. The Lord was leading them in the right way, as we will consider a little later, and as we see in Psalm 107. But there were times when they were confused. Surely it should be this way, not that way. And we can know times of confusion. What's happening? Which way now, Lord? I remember a couple of years ago preaching at a conference on trusting God in affliction. This couple came up to me and said, you said something that we just so felt. Which way now, Lord? And that's how they felt. There can be confusion in the wilderness. Seventhly, weariness in the wilderness. Oh, they were weary at times. And we get weary at times. It's a weary land, is it not? Isaiah 32, verse 2. We know weariness here in the wilderness. Times when we are cast down. Times when we are so perplexed. Times when we are so tired here on the journey. But then eighthly, as we considered, there is an oasis for the children of Israel in the wilderness. There was Elim, Exodus 15, verse 27. Turn to that in your own time. And there are the oases for us in the wilderness, the green pastures, the still waters. And then ninthly, there was support in the wilderness for the children of Israel. There was the manna and the quails. There was the guiding, as we will consider tonight. And oh, there was support for us. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Our temporal needs are met and our spiritual ones. And he leads and he guides us. We pass through a wilderness. There's difficulties to endure. But there is support and help and the Lord knows. He knows our walking through the wilderness. Nothing escapes his eye. He knows the way we take. And this is not what Job considered in Job 23 verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knows every step of the journey. He knows also we will face testing times. There is the pathway of test in the wilderness. But we shall come forth as gold. You see, there will be sanctification in the wilderness. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And we're thankful, are we not, for that pathway of sanctification. And the sanctification we know, even in the trying circumstances, there will be sanctification in the wilderness. For he knows the way that we take. He knows, and oh, consider how he guides us in the wilderness. And so tonight we come to consider again divine guidance in the wilderness. Now in Exodus 15 verse 13 we read this. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. What mercy it was towards the children of Israel. They had been delivered from Egypt. And there was further deliverance at the Red Sea. The Lord brought about this redemption. And he continued to guide them. He guided them in his strength. Are we not thankful for that? For he led them. Oh, consider the mercy of the Lord. He continues to lead us in this wilderness. Where would we be without him? Oh, right at the outset tonight, take comfort. He is so merciful towards us. And he leads us on. Yes, at times we come to the valleys of confusion and perplexity, but there he leads us on. He led them forth, and he leads us forth. Now consider, he used his servants, Moses and Aaron, instrumentally. And so we read in Psalm 77, verse 20, Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The Lord was leading, and he used his servants, Moses and Aaron. There was divine guidance, and we see it plainly in verse 21 and verse 22 tonight. Let's read these two verses again. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. We have here the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Through it they would be led, protected, and comforted. And they would be aware that the Lord was with them. And as we consider this tonight, oh, that we would be more aware that the Lord is with us. Here's the children of Israel. They would look and they would consider the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They were aware, oh, that we would be aware tonight on our journey that the Lord would draw near. You remember those two on the road to Emmaus? They were sad as they talked together of the things that had happened. And the reports that have been given, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They didn't recognize who it was to begin with, but afterwards they did. Oh, that we would soon be aware of the Lord's presence, that he is going with us. The children of Israel were aware of the Lord. Oh, that you would be aware of the Lord at this time in your life, that you would recognize the hand of God, that you would take comfort in the all-compassionate eye of the Lord, that he leads you on in his pity. Now, the Lord was leading them through the pillar. But we go further, as already hinted, the Lord's presence was particularly known. Turn with me to verse 21 again. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light and to go by day and night. Notice up there, the Lord went before them. The Lord. Now in chapter 14, verse 19, we read of the angel of God. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now come with me to chapter 23 and verse 20. And we see here how the Lord was known as they considered the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. And then the angel. In Exodus 23 verse 20 we read, "Behold, I send an angel before thee, to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." You see the angel there. Now we're pointed here to the uncreated angel, the Son of God, the Lord. Just notice verse 21 of chapter 13. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Exodus 23 verse 20. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way." The pillar represented the presence of Christ. It pointed to him. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians 10 verse 9 and 10, you see plainly that Christ was in the wilderness. In your own time, turn to those words, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 9 and 10. Christ was in the wilderness. And are we not thankful? The Lord Jesus Christ is in the wilderness with us in a spiritual way. I am with you always. Oh, the church can take comfort that the Lord is with them. So we're led to consider here the Son of God, the Lord. Now think of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say in John 8 verse 12? "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He's the light of the world. One follows Christ. And are we not thankful that we've been saved by grace? And the Lord is before us and we're following him. We're following Christ in the wilderness. The children of Israel, they were following Christ in the wilderness. How he leads. He's the light, but he's also the shepherd, as we see in John 10, who protects and comforts his people. So as we think of the Lord here, as we think of the angel of the Lord, we're led to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the wilderness. And I find great comfort in this. The Lord is with us in the wilderness. He's at the end of the journey. His immediate presence is in heaven, the promised land, but he's here in the wilderness to lead us, to guide us, and to protect us. Now listen to the Reverend John Brown of Hamilton speaking of the cloud, the pillar of cloud. "Did it not represent Jesus Christ and God in him as the majestic and awful director, comforter, and protector of his people in their journey to the heavenly Canaan?" So here, particularly tonight then, we consider divine guidance in the wilderness. The Lord Christ leading them. But just before we look at this, time permitting, consider again the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. The Lord was protecting and comforting them as well as guiding them. And as, therefore, they were being guided through the wilderness, the Lord was there to comfort them and to protect them. And are we not thankful as the Lord guides us through this wilderness? He's there to comfort us on the journey as well. And he's there to protect us. He's making intercession. He ever liveth to make intercession. He's making intercession that we will be delivered from times of difficulty. As we see, he made intercession for Peter when he faced that time of difficulty. The Lord was guiding them, and as he guided them, he protected them and comforted them. And consider the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. In the daytime, the pillar of cloud would protect from the burning heat and the danger in the daytime. But then in the nighttime, the pillar of fire now would protect from the penetrating cold and the dangers in the night. And are we not reminded we need protection in the day and in the night? We need the Lord's shade in this weary land. Well, the Lord provides it. Isaiah 32 verse 2, and a man shall be as a hiding place for the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The shadow of a great rock all appointed to the Lord. We think here of the Lord, and the pillar of cloud there gave shade in the weary wilderness. But the Lord gives us shade as times are refreshing. We're protected from the fierceness of the heat, and we know that strengthening. We need further protection in the night of affliction, when one can feel vulnerable and lonely. Think of the children in the wilderness, the night time. It's getting dark. The darkness has come. There's the pillar of fire. That was a comfort to them. There's the pillar of fire. But also provided protection. And we needed it, do we not, in the night of affliction. One can feel vulnerable and lonely, or we have protection in the Lord. Therefore seek him. Isaiah 50 verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and have no light, let him stay in the name of the Lord and let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Trust and stay or lean. Lean on the Lord in the night time. Lean in on the Lord in the night of affliction. It's a God-fearer there in Isaiah 50 verse 10 who's going through a night, a season of affliction, the darkness of the night of affliction. Trust the Lord. And if you're going through a night of affliction at this time, you trust the Lord and then you stay or you lean on the Lord. And with that in mind, turn with me to the Song of Solomon 8 verse 5 and you'll see how it all fits in. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? The children of Israel, looking to the pillar of fire. Oh, when you're going through the night of affliction in the wilderness, lean on the beloved. We think there of the believer, they've left the wilderness of the unregenerate state, but they're in the wilderness of this world. Let them lean on the Lord. Oh, are you leaning on the Lord tonight? You may be going through some affliction. Oh, lean on the Lord. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? It's me. Can you say that tonight? It's me. I'm leaning on the beloved of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm leaning, and I'm leaning even more tonight. Oh, the older I get, the more I want to lean on Jesus. And is it not true? The more we go through this wilderness, there are those times when we feel more of the need to lean on the beloved. You think of a child leaning on the parent for comfort, but also for fellowship. Maybe the child comes in from school and goes to the mum and sits on her lap. To know comfort, but also to talk to mum. Think of the wife who leans upon her husband for fellowship and comfort. Think of the believer then, leaning on Christ. Is that you tonight? You're leaning upon the beloved in this wilderness. You're looking to him. He's the pillar of fire, as it were, as we see here. And you looking to him, oh, lean on him. He will help you and he will protect you. And consider further, the Lord will protect you and me from our enemies. Now turn with me to Exodus 14. Consider there how the Lord defended his people at the Red Sea. Verse 19 of chapter 14, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. See there how the Lord protected the children of Israel from the Egyptians. There they were protected. And then the Lord would do that great miracle. The Red Sea would part and they would go forward. Oh, take comfort, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord protects you so you can go forward. You may say, but there's people in the way. There are those who oppose me. But the Lord will protect you. You can go forward, as we see in this chapter. Just notice verse 15. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, and you can go forward, because the Lord protects you. Oh, what mercy, the Lord protects us. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. He encamps round about. We have many an enemy. There are many who oppose Christ, but he, the Lord, is defending us. He will deal. He's just to do so. We see that here, how he dealt with the Egyptians. He dealt with them there at the Red Sea. He's just. And you remember the Moabites and others that came against Jehoshaphat. What did Judah do? They came to ask help of the Lord. That's the blessing of a prayer meeting, isn't it? To come and ask help of the Lord. Well, that's what Judah did. And what do we read in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 4? We read of one Jehazel. He said this, rather verse 15, hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, let's remember it. The battle doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. Therefore, he will protect and see us through. How he protected the children of Israel. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, but also comforted them. Just consider for a moment the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire again. Oh, they knew refreshment in the heat of the day. There was the shade. Oh, they knew comfort in the shade, but also in the night time they knew warmth. Think of that. It not only was a light to guide, but there was warmth. In Psalm 105, verse 39, we read, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. They were comforted. They were comforted in the day. There was the shade. They knew comfort in the shade. And they were comforted in the night. There was the pillar of fire. And there was warmth as well as protection. Oh, how the Lord comforts his people in the wilderness. He cherishes us. Oh, he draws alongside. One can be weary, cast down, struggling in the veil of affliction. But then the Lord in his mercy draws near to comfort, to cherish us. And so we read in Ephesians 5, verse 29, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. That nourishing and that cherishing to warm. And all these are beautiful things, aren't they? Christ comes to warm the heart. Think of the children of Israel in the wilderness in the night time. There's the pillar of fire. They knew warmth. They knew comfort. Oh, the Lord comes to us to cherish, to warm the soul. He encourages us with his promises. He comforts. He reminds his people that they belong to him, that his precious blood has covered their sins, and all will be well for their soul. He warms the soul. Remember again those two on the road to Emmaus. He drew near and went with them. And we're told, did not our heart burn within us? There was this warming. Oh, how the Lord is able to warm the soul. Do you know a little of it this evening, Al? This warming of the soul. Oh, the pillar of fire brought warmth. Christ brings warmth to the soul. Oh, that he would come often and warm my soul. Because how the Lord speaks with his word. I read these words earlier today. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. Oh, do not those words warm the soul this evening hour? Peace. Oh, how the Lord is able to speak. He has access to the soul. The Spirit comes and applies the word. And we know this warmth and this comfort. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. There's comfort in the wilderness through the Lord and his word. Thomas Manton wrote, who are the comforts in affliction are nothing to those comforts which we have from the word of God. Oh, there's more comfort in store for us. There's more help for us on the journey. He will guide, he will protect, and he will comfort. He will warm the soul. Oh, just before we draw to a close, time is passing so quickly. Oh, consider again how the Lord warms the soul, how the Lord warmed the people in the wilderness through the pillar of fire, how the Lord warms the soul. Oh, to get closer to Christ then. You think of those that were closer to the pillar of fire in the wilderness in the night time. They felt more of the warmth. Oh, to get closer to Christ. A number of years ago, in the home we lived in Tottenham, my parents had a coal fire, and I remember it well because each day in the winter I was asked to take this old wooden coal scuttle outside and fill it up with coal from the coal bunker, while I was benefiting doing. I remember those winter evenings. My mum, she would take the chair and bring it up near to the fire, and there she would sit. She would get a little closer to the fire. Can I encourage you tonight? Do what you can to get a little closer to Christ in an experimental way. Or to be a little closer, pray, read, meditate, sing. Oh, pray that you would be able and enabled to get closer to Christ, and pray that he would come closer to you, that he would draw near to you. That as you are being led through the wilderness, you might know that comfort more often. Oh, to sense more of the Lord on the journey. We know he's leading us, but there's times when we're not aware of him. Oh, to sense him more, to know more of the warmth in the soul. Now we must draw to a close, and time has gone so quickly. Consider how the Lord led them through the wilderness. In Nehemiah 9 verse 12 we read, moreover thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. He led them. The Lord led them. We note that in verse 21. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light to go by day and night. He was leading by day and by night. He led them those 40 years to the land of Canaan. And next week we'll continue on and we'll note those words in Numbers 9. They observed the pillar, and they moved when the pillar moved, but they stayed when the pillar stayed. Oh, consider how the Lord was leading them. Oh, trust him. Look to the Lord. See what the Lord is saying through his word. Consider providence in light of the word. The Lord led them in the wilderness. The Lord is leading you. He's so gracious. He's so merciful. He leads us as individuals, but also collectively. He will lead us on. You look to him. You observe very carefully what the Lord is saying, as we will consider next week. In conclusion, we read in Psalm 48, verse 14, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." He's our covenant God. He will not leave us. What do we notice in verse 22? This is precious, isn't it? "He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He took not away." And they were reminded each day that there he was. Oh, he's our covenant God forever. He will be our guide even unto death. In the last part of the wilderness for us, he will still be guiding us, as we will consider next week. He's our shepherd. He guides, he drives us like a flock. There's divine guidance in the wilderness, dear child of God. Look to him, rest in him, trust in him, commit your whole way unto him. Roll the whole burden of life upon him. You may be considering tonight, there's valleys in the way. There's the pathway of difficulty before me. You trust him. You may be saying, "I'm confused, Lord. Is it meant to be this way?" You trust him. For in Psalm 107, he led them forth by the right way. He's leading you. Oh, what a God we have, who's leading us through the wilderness. We leave it there tonight. But oh, may we in these intervening days before next Wednesday, if the Lord spares, consider how the Lord is leading us. May the Lord bless his word, and for his name's sake. Amen.